Hello, I'm Phyllis Wallace, a collector of stories. In 2013, I realized it would be very valuable to record some of the historical highlights of my 55-year-old church and congregation while its founding members and pastors were still around to help tell the story. This is February of 2014, and I have the blessing of my pastor, Pastor Michael Walther, to initiate this project. We're going to pause to remember how this church came to be and how it has grown and changed through the years. The goal is to understand more fully where we came from, who we are, and even where we could be headed, Lord willing. The finished product of these recordings and writings will include the work of many, pastors, staff, members, along with that cloud of witnesses now gone on to glory, having participated in the Good Shepherd story, even sacrificed for it to proceed and succeed. Let's begin this glimpse of the rich history of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church by hearing from those who were part of its beginnings in the little town of Collinsville, Illinois. Harold Alkus and his wife Doris were among the early founders of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. Harold joins us now. Thank you, Harold, first of all, for pouring yourself into this mission a half century ago. I've reaped the benefits, as have thousands of others.
I'm happy to be here and to be talking with you, Phyllis. It's sort of strange to be looking back and thinking that it's been as much as 55 years. It doesn't feel that long. And it's a lesson to me that life is short. It may seem long at times, but most of the time, the years go by quickly. And to think that we are 55 plus years old at Good Shepherd Church is sort of amazing to me, and I won't say personally gratifying, because any glory or credit for this goes to our God, and we don't want to get into the fall into the error of taking hardly any credit at all. any credit that I got was that I was there and I did what I could, and I'm blessed because of it.
You were God's man for the moment. Let's go back to the mid-1950s. Collinsville, Illinois was a rural sort of hamlet 12 miles across the Mississippi River from St. Louis, Missouri. The population was about 12,000. With a number of churches in town, including Holy Cross Lutheran Church, established in 1848. At that time, you and your wife, Doris, belonged there. Now, you get involved with starting up a new church. What was the thinking, Harold, to add another church to the mix?
We were happy at Holy Cross Church, but we had previously lived for a couple of years in Greenville, Illinois, and had the benefit of belonging to a small church there in Greenville. And it was nice. We knew everybody. It was like a big family. And Holy Cross was, I think, 1,500 people. We thought we would like a smaller church. And just coincidentally, beginning in 1956, the Southern Illinois District of the Missouri Synod had started talking about another church in Collinsville, because that office also realized that Holy Cross was getting rather large. The idea was that there would be another church in Collinsville, preferably on the north end of town. Things began to develop at that time. Of us had little informal meetings to talk about it. Then in early 1958, the Southern Illinois District assigned, I believe it was the executive secretary, to help us with the process of possibly organizing a congregation and setting up another church. I remember specifically in November 12th, 1958, those of us who were present in the meeting all signed a very informally worded document to the effect that we were going to establish a new congregation. And I think there were about 44 of us that particular meeting. That was, I think, the first definite move toward the establishment of Good Shepherd Church.
Things must have moved along rather rapidly, because within not very many months, you actually had some ground. Did you buy the ground?
Well, the Southern Illinois District worked with a local real estate agent and located a plot of ground about somewhat over 12 acres on the north end of town. And the Southern Illinois District bought that.
So that piece was in place. You had the ground. You have the people who are interested in building this mission congregation.
Yes.
And how did things go on from there? I mean, you had to at some point select a pastor.
We hadn't quite, at that time, in late 1958, we hadn't got organized to that extent. Before we could call a pastor, we had some concerns that had to be taken care of with respect to to Holy Cross Congregation. And the number one issue was, how about our children? Would they be able to keep attending Holy Cross school if the parents, in effect, were members of another congregation? That issue was taken care of. We then decided to call a pastor. I think we called a pastor from Wood River, Illinois, and that pastor, after consideration, declined our call. Then we called a pastor from St. Louis, and after consideration, he declined our call. Subsequently, the district office suggested that we might want to call Pastor Alvin Coleman from, I believe, West Frankfort, Illinois. Pastor Coleman considered and accepted our call, to our happiness.
Yes. Sometimes it takes more than one call to find the right man that God has in mind.
Sometime after voted to take the name of Good Shepherd as our congregational name. That seems to have worked pretty nicely.
It certainly has. It certainly has. Was it a contest, a real contest, where you thought about various names and settled on Good Shepherd?
There were several of them. The usual, I think Zion was one of the runners-up, and a couple others, including one of them, which didn't get many votes, was Holy Name.
Oh, that'd be new to me. I'm sure Trinity was in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we got busy letting a contract for a house chapel, because we needed to have some place to worship in it, and we let that. It's located across from our present church on Bridle Ridge Road. It was just a regular house, and it just didn't have any walls on the inside, because we were going to have to worship in there. The only walls were two bathrooms. I think we had about 25 children in the Sunday school, and I think we had about, if I remember correctly, about 114 members at the time we had our first worship service.
It's a pretty significant group for openers, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And were most of these people from Holy Cross?
Yes, almost entirely, yes.
Mm-hmm. So they were really behind this effort. You were working full-time, Harold. You had a family, I assume, by this time. And so this was a volunteer effort on your part.
Oh, definitely. I remember one time we scheduled a neighborhood canvas on one Saturday, and we got to our house chapel, which was still being constructed. The windows weren't in. The roof was. It was a rainy, windy day, and I remember Lil Mock had to stand in like a little alcove or closet to keep while she handed out the assignments.
Yeah, all the assignments. Cute. You've talked about some of the plans. You've talked about the dream to have this mm-hmm. mission congregation on the north side of town. What were some of the what ifs that you kind of thought, oh, what if this doesn't go over? Or did you have some doubts? There had to be something.
What if we don't make a success of this?
Yeah.
What about our children? Will they be able to go back to Holy Cross School?
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, it was this kind
sure.
of
the, very these practical kind of, questions.
Yeah, and of course, we knew we would be welcomed back at Holy Cross, but that never was a serious concern.
Sure, sure.
My wife Doris, her great grandfather was one of the founders of Holy Cross Church.
In Collinsville,
yes.
Hmm.
So we've got that sort of thing running through the family.
You certainly do. And you also are the son of a pastor, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he was a pastor in Collinsville at another church.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At Jerusalem Church. And he
for
was
how many
there
years?
For 24 years.
24
and,
years.
And
a very rich background for both of you. Mm-hmm. And your wife, Doris, was the organist, one of the organists?
Organists at Good Shepherd.
Good Shepherd.
She was one of the first organists at our little
house chapel.
We had an organ. It was a borrowed Hammond organ. And
electric.
Yes, electric. And it was a nice organ. It had nice sound. Except every once in a while, while we'd be singing a hymn, it would cut out totally.
And you'd be a cappella.
And we would be a cappella. And at our dedication service, that happened. And we just kept singing. And one of the visiting pastors said later he thought that was a very nice effect.
A nice touch, huh?
Yeah. Of course, the organist was dying at the keyboard there.
Well, like you said, it is what it is. That was part of that. Was there any opposition? There usually is when we start something for the Lord, so I would be surprised if you said no, but...
Yes, there was opposition. At Holy Cross, there were some people, I'm sorry to say, who felt that it was a disservice to Holy Cross to leave Holy Cross and go out and try to start a new church.
They weren't on the same page with you.
They were not what you would call mission-minded. Everybody has, you know, they get a territorial feeling
sure.
about their own church and anything that affects them, that church, good or bad, is
right.
what they're concerned about. As I recall, they gave us a break in the school tuition. They gave us hymnals, new hymnals, which was friendly. And
yeah, so the overall support was
yeah.
genuine and
mm-hmm.
and adequate, it sounds like. There had to be money to support this effort.
As I recall, we got about $6,000 a year subsidy from the Southern Illinois District. Our first year's budget was about $100,000. I think we made it that first year with a $98 balance.
That's pretty sweet, pretty sweet. And you have to remember, this is the 1950s when that money was worth a lot more than it is now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, did you worry? Did you fuss and worry? Because there was some opposition and there were things that could go wrong in the what ifs.
There was no opposition that I remember in the congregation at Good Shepherd. We've been blessed. We've had a peaceful congregation, as opposed to some congregations which seem to have just bad luck.
Just have some strife, yeah.
Looking back on it, I will say that it was a blessing in that we did not have the concerns and the arguments and things like that. We were starting basically from scratch, and we dealt, what's the expression, it is what it is idea was, that we deal with what we have and we do the best we can.
It was a very bare-bones beginning. As you said, it was mm-hmm. a skeleton house, just mm-hmm. two walls for bathrooms, and the rest donated hymnals and some chairs. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't anything grand, no cathedral there. But you told me why you think you didn't worry much, because most of you came out of the
Depression. We weren't used to too much of anything in the way of material goods.
And you had told me earlier off mic that you understood, all of you, that there were difficulties in life and that wasn't a big deal. Mm-hmm. Just move through it. How old are you, Harold?
91.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to get out your driver's license and prove it to me. But you've been part of a growing mission church that is now well established. It's 55 years old. Looking back, how do you account for the tremendous success of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church? You started with, what did you say, 144 communicant members, and now I think we're up to 1,800.
To God.
To God be the glory.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's always a human element that either will make something a success or might make it a failure. We've had good pastors, and at a particular point in our congregational life, when Pastor Coleman was elected president of the Southern Illinois District, we called another pastor, Pastor Castens, who really had the gift for grabbing on to people and bringing them into church. Now, he was something else.
he was a great follow-up act for Pastor Coleman, wasn't he?
Yes.
As the Lord would have it, he built on what was there, that solid foundation that you have.
Sure. He had a lot of members at Pastor Caston's, in effect, encouraged to come, who had no particular church background, who were even from other strong churches, who just felt that we had more to offer. And then one other thing is, when we were first starting out there, we were very, very welcoming of people. If I can tell you a little story.
Please.
There was one of our members, and he was a faithful member for many years. Sorry to say, he just recently passed on. He came to our church as a stranger, and I remember the first Sunday that he was there, I spotted him, and I walked over to him and introduced myself, got his name, and welcomed him to Good Shepherd Church. The next Sunday, he was there, walked over to him, introduced myself, got his name, and welcomed him to Good Shepherd. Evidently, my memory for faces wasn't so great. Next Sunday, he was there. I walked over to him, welcomed him to Good Shepherd, got his name, gave him my name, and he just laughed in my face and said, Harold.
Hey, I was a stranger and you welcomed me first, second, and third, right? He kept coming back anyway.
Yes.
Did you end up being friends?
Yes.
That's a good story.
Then there's another lady was there, and I saw her the first Sunday she was there, and I introduced myself and welcomed her to Good Shepherd Church. And the next Sunday, she was there and brought her husband. They have been members ever since, faithful members. As a matter of fact, from time to time, he will tell me, Harold, you cost me a lot of money.
You had mentioned earlier that you said one of the secrets to the success of Good Shepherd is the fact that there have been good pastors. When you describe a good pastor and thinking about the number of pastors that have been either pastor or associate pastor at Good Shepherd, how do you define a good pastor?
One that considers that as a pastor, he also has to consider himself to be almost a business manager. I have heard of some pastors who say, I want to preach a good sermon, and what more do you want of me? Or there are others who specialize in house calls or hospital visits. A good pastor has to be a whole person. Many gifts, someone that follows up their ambitions. You can't expect the average church member to be accepting all the time of one aspect of a pastor's pastorate.
So you're saying a well-rounded man.
Well-rounded.
Yes, yes.
And I think Pastor Kasten's really started our pastor's habit of going out on Sunday afternoons talking to visitors. That is something that impresses people, to think that here we are at church at 10 o'clock, and at 2 o'clock, this pastor's knocking at our door.
Yes. Yes, it's been a very successful part of the the approach, and it has been continued by the other pastors. Harold, looking forward, what are your hopes and prayers for Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and Good Shepherd Lutheran School?
This is such a vibrant world that we're in. Who knows what this community or the nation or our church will look like? I just hope that it remains as Bible-centered as it has been. That's very important. I hope it continues to be a light on the hill for people with respect to their spiritual needs. Just hope it continues on, whether or not with our families, the problems with family life and all of the changes which this world wants us to adopt. I would just like to see it continue on as it has been. It's worked pretty well for 55 years.
It certainly has.
Yeah.
Harold Alkus, founding member of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Collinsville, Illinois. Thank you for sharing your memories and some of your detailed records that are in your head and that you've kept, I know, volumes of in your home. And thank you for your prayers and hard work through all the years to be part of what made this church such a success as it is today.
Thank you, Phyllis.